Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the second half of Laker Hockey Talk. It's our August edition of the program. Damon Witten joining me. I'm Bill Crawford. And Damon, let's talk about the CCHA and what's coming up in 2021-22. We did kind of talk about that about a week ago, along with David Pateson, the athletic director at Lake Superior State. And looks like there's a logo pretty much that everybody's happy with at this point. And Don Lucia's fallen into where he's taking command and doing some things right now. And it looks like that's going to be an interesting league. And St. Thomas is going to join. We're going to have an eight-team league.
Yeah. That was really big news and obviously kind of went quickly. It's a great institution, kind of been a D3 powerhouse for years and years, right in St. Paul and in Twin Cities area. So they've got a tremendous recruiting hotbed right around them with the Twin Cities and all Minnesota. And, certainly there'll be an adjustment as they phase in their scholarships and you're not going to go out in year one and put 18 guys on a scholarship. So it'll take a little bit of time, but we do believe the consensus is they will quickly grow into a very strong program, great history tradition on that campus. I think a facility will come on board sooner than later as well. There's some early conversations that have come out about facility, happening for that institution as well. So I think, Don's done a really good job to help drive that conversation. And certainly with the footprint of the CCHA with Bemidji, Mankato, it makes a lot of sense. I think for the UP schools, it's not bad travel down to the Twin Cities, a little bit closer than Mankato and in closer than Bemidji. They're a real good fit, and I think they'll be a real good partner to the CCHA. So I think there's a lot of optimism about the league and certainly a great history tradition when you look at the national championships of a school like ours in Northern and Michigan Tech and Bowling Green and Ferris's run a few years back of Frozen Four and things like that. So we're excited. We think it's generated some good early buzz about what that league looks like and a good start. And Don, Coach Lucia has been around a long, long time and done a great job and different institutions. He knows what it's like to be at a Colorado College and Alaska Fairbanks, and so he's got a lot better feel than maybe his last many years at Minnesota Gophers on a Big Ten campus. I think he has a good feel of what each institution, their strengths and their weaknesses, and will be a real good leader and advocate for the CCHA.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what that schedule looks like. It'll be a totally different situation for the Lakers. Three teams from the old CCHA will be involved in the new CCHA, and with St. Thomas coming in, they are a Division III school at this point, but they're a big school. They have 10,000 students and a huge endowment, and they go back to the 1800s for when they opened the doors. So they're not somebody to take lightly. They're going to do probably well in a hurry.
Yeah, no, right. They're, I guess growth was was on our minds. It was probably an important issue to move beyond seven. Do we stop at eight? Do we get to 10? Whatever that looks like, next steps. But we didn't just grab a team to grab a team. The team that we wanted to expand to or partner with had to bring value to the league as well. And we certainly believe St. Thomas, does that today, and when we'll do much more of that as they grow and develop in their Division I model as well. So we're excited. It's a great addition to the league, as we said. You know, and I know Northern Michigan was back and forth a couple years, but certainly, you know, a great history tradition. And you mentioned some of the logos and the trademark and things like that. Again, I think we're a month or so out on that, so I think some of that stuff will be coming out. We'll see a little bit more information as Don gets settled into his role and you know, works through. It's nice. He's got plenty of lead time to look at scheduling models, you know, get some other office staff hired, what our refereeing model looks like. You know, that's been, you know, an important issue as we've looked forward. What does that look like? How do we partner and what do we do there? So lots of time for Don to get those things worked through, and we're looking forward to that launching, you know, after the season.
I'm assuming the office for the new CCHA would be in the Twin Cities or in that area. I think that's where Don is, so...
You know, I mean, I think what we've learned here is I'm not sure offices, is it needed, and, you know, in my opinion, I think some are the opposite. Some still feel like you need an office to come into, and, there's certainly a lot of benefits to doing that. But if we can find a great staff member that's based out of Detroit, let's not limit ourselves to a footprint where we got to hire the right person, for another position there. So I don't know. I'm not sure that's been decided. But yes, he is based out of the Twin Cities. He spends time up in Alaska too. Still summers up there. I believe his wife's up there or from there originally. I'm not sure what that'll look like ultimately. You know, one of the things Don talked a lot about through the process too is, you know, he doesn't forget his early coaching days, whether Alaska or Colorado College. And, you know, hey, you jump in a car and you drive 10, 12 hours to watch a player and, you know, wherever that may be. And then you jump in your car the next morning, drive another 8, 10 hours and you know, watch that next recruit and, you know, really work the roads there. And Don just said, hey, I'm looking forward to getting back to that. You know, I don't mind jumping in a car and driving to Bowling Green or up to the UP and, you know, getting on our campuses. So I think it'll be really nice to get him up here to meet our administration. I can't remember what he told me the last time he'd been to Lake State or, you know, if that maybe the Fairbanks days, I can't remember. But it's been many years since he's been on our campus in our arena. So it's going to be really good to get the eyes of a guy like Don. You know, one of his phrases was, you know, I have a PhD in hockey. He spent his whole life, in the coaching and in different institutions. So he'll be really good for us to come into our institution, to come into our campus and, you know, talk about what we're doing well and where we've got to improve as a organization or, you know, as an event. And he'll do that for each institution. So I'm looking forward to his feedback that way as well.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a really good job. I've known him for a long time, going back to the Alaska days. And I think he's going to be good. He's a hockey guy.
And
that's what you need. You got to have somebody whose whole life has been dedicated to the sport. Not only is he a hockey guy, he's a college hockey guy. So I think it's going to work really well there. I'm kind of looking forward to that. It's just we got to get by all this coronavirus stuff. This is just throwing such a monkey wrench into absolutely everything. It's almost become it's incredible the things that we've gone through in the last 4 or 5 months in our country. So we're hoping that we're going to have a schedule set here pretty soon and that we're going to play college hockey for sure this season, and certainly going to be a travesty if we don't. How do you keep up with things like we kind of got off on this a little while ago in the first half of our show, but how do you make sure the dressing room sanitized? I mean, you got to make a lot of extra effort here. I think your rink crew's got to get involved. Your players have got to be involved. You got to keep things clean, cleaner than they've been.
Yeah, well, you know what is... you know, I guess maybe the early start was part of it. It's funny because I'm getting calls from coaches now that know we're going and, hey, what's protocol? How'd you do this? And, Pat Sarney and Taylor Brown did a really good job early on. You know, we had a committee with some coaches as well, along with Pat and Taylor. And being in the UP, you know, we're ahead of most of the state of Michigan because we've been safe and not a lot of cases. So we were really diligent early on to put our summer return protocol in place, our fall protocol, our return to campus, our return to play. We have all the protocols on paper and we're following them, you know, cleaning equipment after lifts and spraying the locker room after the guys are in there as well. Again, I just think those guys were really diligent of putting together a great document, taking NCAA best practices, GLIAC, WCHA. There's documents from all these different organizations that we're taking the best pieces of and trying to put in place. So, we're hopeful that we can continue to do a good job of that and keep rolling. And you mentioned your point, what Corona's done to us, and I hope we can be a small piece of normalcy that the puck does drop at some point, and hopefully that's sooner than later. I've obviously got young kids of my own, and you know, it's hard to see your kids, you know, isolated and you know, masked up and things like that. That, you know, they're giving up a lot of their you know, the things they need to be you know, close to people and hugged and, you know, all those things. And just no different than our players, you know, relationships are so important to all of us, and you know, it's hard to see some of that's going on. So I hope Laker hockey can be a piece of a return to normalcy, and that, you know, we do get to drop that puck and have some fans, whether it's, you know, a full building or limited building, whatever, and, you know, that our players can get around in the community and help kids that are struggling, and you know, just be a piece of normalcy for all of us. It's a challenging time.
Yeah, I guess it's probably not a difficult thing for somebody who doesn't like sports or follow sports, but I can't imagine going through a winter in the Eastern Upper Peninsula without hockey and basketball. It's incredible. I think I'd probably get out of here. I'd go south for a while. I couldn't handle the winter.
Yeah, I know my wife couldn't handle it, because I, you know, with for me personally, not having that would be a real challenge. And I think those things for a player, that's one of the areas that, you know, we've tried to stress as a coaching body, whether it's league-wise, nationally, that, you know, we better be looking out for the mental health of our student-athletes, because, again, it's hard to maybe explain, but, you know, as our guys in particular, you know, I've had players, you know, probably six or so players in my 7-8 years here that moved away from home in eighth grade to follow this dream of theirs. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's not ideal, but, you know, from Florida, from non-hockey areas, a lot of my guys have never been to a prom, you know, they've never been to a formal dance, you know, they had hockey, you know, Christmas, you know, we come back and we practice Christmas night a lot of years. I did as a player. It's such a part of your life that you don't know what to do when it's taken away, when COVID shuts the rink down or the gym down, you know, so the mental health of, and, you know, that's whether it's basketball, volleyball, whatever the case may be, you know, we better really be looking at the mental health of our student athletes and all of our students, you know, if they can't go into classroom, or they can't, you know, study, or they can't interact with the professor. You know, I think there's not been enough talk of that to me in the national conversations that are going on, that, you know, the mental health of our students, whether they're college students, whether they're my 9-year-old or 5-year-old, whatever the case may be, you know, let's make sure we're protecting and advocating from that way as well.
Yeah, you could have a really interesting conversation and get into depth. I'd like to talk to a psychologist a little bit about that too. Student athletes, especially at the college level and the pro level, are driven individuals. A lot of type A personalities there, and a lot of people who have goals that are set, who are going to achieve those goals by hook or by crook. And you can't take that away from them. You're going to have, I mean, these aren't run-of-the-mill students who are just going to class and maybe working at Burger King or something and trying to get a degree so they can go on with life, which is, hey, that's great, but
yeah,
these guys
well.
Are driven a little bit more in a little bit different direction, and Division I athletes in particular.
Yeah, you have to be. You can't get to this level without a, you know, we talk about it as a family at times. I have nephews playing and things like that. You know, it's almost an unhealthy drive, you know, at times. You sacrifice so much, you give up so much, and you know, and then the rewards aren't easy. How many kids get a scholarship? How many kids sign a pro contract? So, you know, we talk about, again, internally with my extended family, you know, how healthy is it sometimes, you know, and I'm here, it's my career, but it really is that way. So it's, you know, we have to be careful. And you know, again, I don't think the national conversation, we hear enough of that, and I'm looking at as my own kids are returning to school and what that looks like. But you know, I'm fearful that way for all of us. You know, the isolation and the separation is not a small thing. It's a big issue. And so, again, I hope we can play a role to get people together, you know, maybe for our student athletes to go hit, you know, youth practices, get in the schools and read, whatever the case may be, to make sure people are connected and you know, they're having that part of their life fulfilled.
Well, it's very interesting what's going on. It's no fun at this point, and we really have no answer on questions about schedule at this point, or when we're going to drop the puck, or will there be fans? Hopefully, on our show in the month of September, we'll have answers to all these questions, and it'll be a positive situation. But, Damon, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. Fans always want to know what's going on there. I've noticed 3, 4, maybe even 5 names, futures. We can't use names because they haven't signed NLIs, et cetera, but recruiting goes on. And it looks to me like it's pretty darn interesting. I noticed one last week was a young kid that, I don't know how you picked him up, but that looks like a pretty good recruit. And there are several others who look like you're building a lot of defensive work A lot of defensemen that are being recruited right now.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting times. You know, those who don't follow close, the NCAA just recently announced another extension of our dead period. So we cannot have on-campus recruiting visits, and we can't go off-campus, no face-to-face, through September now. So any leagues that are starting up or, you know, showcase that typically happen, and then leagues are starting to announce dates and try to get going, we're not allowed to go watch and evaluate. So obviously technology becomes an important piece of it in terms of, you know, gathering video, watching video. Certainly the more detailed you were in the past with reports and notes to track kids and I'll catch up on some of that, you know, has been a big piece of it. And then certainly the technology and doing visits. So, you know, it's been interesting. You know, I think Mike and Zach have done a really good job. We've found a way to put together what we think is a really compelling Zoom visit, and that's going to replace official visits until or unofficial visits until the NCAA lists them again. The feedback we've gotten from the players and the parents has been really positive, the way our facilities show and the way we've handled them. So we'll continue to do that. And as you mentioned, you know, there has been a little run, I think 3 to 4 guys, maybe 5 guys the last month or two, you know, so those have gone well. And, you know, and I think, you know, for the players out there, you know, nobody in, we go through it through advisors a little bit. Advisors, well, be patient, you know, tell their students to be patient, go visit. Like, we don't know when visits are happening again, you know, and that's tough, you know, as a 20-year-old hockey player, maybe as a senior in high school, you know, you want to step foot on campus and, you know, get a feel for what Lake State feels like or whatever other institution you're interested in. I'm not sure when that happens. I don't think it's anytime soon. If you know, if fall sports are pushed to January, I can't see visits picking up before January as well. So not many kids want to go into their last year, whether they're a senior basketball player or a 20-year-old hockey player. You know, you don't want to get into January, February without a decision made because you're running out of time there. So it's interesting times that way. But our guys have mostly been younger guys. It hasn't been the 20-year-old. So we do need to get a couple forwards done and, you know, finalize a piece or two for next year's class. But, you know, we've got some, you know, some really great pieces on the back end. And I don't know, I feel like the last couple of years at Tech and my time into here, you know, it's been easier to find the defenseman and get the defenseman you want. And, you know, we've done that. So I really like the pieces we've added. Obviously, we've, you know, felt comfortable enough to make those offers and to take those commitments for the guys that have come on board there. So that's been good. It's been positive. And Mike and Zach done a really good job through COVID, where, you know, it's really just changed the whole process of the way you recruit.
Yeah, it's a very interesting what might be going on here. I looked the other day at take for instance, just not even to get off the college hockey situation for a moment. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles right now, they got to be, I mean, what are they going to do? The border's closed. Yeah. They can't go play. And that's an Ontario league. Now, there's a lot of talk that there are going to be some restrictions lifted in the month of November, maybe December. But, boy, we're going to get into flu season and stuff's going to spread. And it's going to be there could be no season for them this year. And, you know, it could happen to us, too. We could end up with no season out of all this. Yeah. We don't know yet what's going on. And it's going to be really, really difficult if there's no hockey.
Yeah. I think we'll play in some regard. You know, again, when's the start date? What's the schedule? Conference only? You know, I think those are the main questions. I do think we find a way to have a season. You know, I was thinking about the NOJHL, you know, recently and thinking they might have the best play possibility to have an uninterrupted season. You know, in northern communities, smaller communities that we haven't really been affected up our way, the Eagles may be a little bit different with the border. That's a whole different challenge there. But, you know, my thought was they might have a really good chance to not have disruption because the towns these teams are in, you know, have been pretty well insulated. And then obviously, you know, nobody wants to bring players into those towns and have an outbreak happen. But, you know, they might be in a good spot for it. So it's interesting, you know, you're watching leagues jockeying for start dates and announcing we intend to start here, we are starting here. I think it's going to be really interesting when it's all said and done if Hockey Canada or USA Hockey have more of you know, a nationalized start date depending on the country you're in. But, you know, we have different teams that have, you know, tried to say we're starting in October, and, you know, we'll see if that happens ultimately or not. Like, I hope it does. You know, I want these leagues to start. Camps are going on. You know, we're talking to coaches that have held their camps. We have camp coming up in town this week here. I'm going to be careful how much I say so I don't get in trouble, but you know, camps are happening and tryouts are going on, and you know, kids are getting report dates to their cities, and so, you know, we're moving, and I think we're all trying to figure this out together and hopeful that hockey moves on and we have these seasons.
How about your staff at this point? We've mentioned Pat Sarny, your trainer, and Taylor Brown, who's the strength coach at this point. They've done a great job, especially dealing with coronavirus thus far. You got Westy Young back. You got Mike Guggen back. The staff looks like it's kind of like the players. We've got everybody back other than the seniors who graduated last year. It looks like things business as usual for Lake Superior.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. I'm not sure if I've made it through an offseason without losing some piece, whether it's equipment manager or strength coach. Or, you know, a couple of trainers have, you know, cycled through, you know, and so hopefully there's no change from here in the next couple months or a month or two. But yeah, it's nice. You know, I mean, we all have a real positive working relationship. We know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we can offset that. So there's a good flow right there now that we kind of have a good feel for weekly schedules and expectations and everything along that way. So it's nice. I think it's a great staff we have in place. You know, guys like Ethan Ritzma, Dan Kinnear, our student managers who have helped out the last couple of years. Hunter Deals, a new student manager coming in to help in some different areas. I can't remember if you said Mike Guggen, but Mike Guggen's back. So it's really good to have everybody back. It's a staff that I really feel strongly about and does a great job. So we're excited. Again, let's find a date to drop that puck and get going. That's kind of our mindset right now.
Yeah, you got a couple of really good assistant coaches who've got good experience now. Zach Sizek's been outstanding, I think. He's got energy. He's a young guy. He likes to recruit. He's good with the goaltenders. And, of course, Mike York. I haven't seen Yorkie since maybe April. He just kind of disappears in the summer. But he's the ultimate pro player who can add an awful lot to the program. And he does a really good job. And I know you and he are pretty tight. And it's a Michigan State crew, what you've got there at the coaching staff.
Yeah, well, if you want to find Mike, show up in a gym because he still bikes probably 2 hours a day almost, at least an hour per day every, you know, 5-6 days a week. So if you're struggling finding him, show up to either our weight room or the sack, and he'll be in there. It's amazing that pro mindset, you know, 12 years in the NHL, 11 years in NHL, and another 6-8 pro. Like, so it just doesn't leave who he is. He's part of it. But, you know, you mentioned we do have a good chemistry among that coaching group in particular, and the whole staff. And, you know, Zach spent that time with Coach Jackson down at Notre Dame in Miami. So he's brought in a lot of real good pieces with him as well. So we like this group. You know, I think it's hard for all of us to, you know, Bill, as you come up to the office, you've probably seen it, but we have a 4-month calendar laid out that has, you know, certainly our team needs, but recruiting needs. You know, we all would have been on the road already for a couple of weeks in a normal year. And so I think we're all kind of antsy to, you know, get back recruiting, and we won't be able to do that for at least through September now, unless something changes. But, you know, being back on the ice can't describe how good it feels to be able to get back on the ice, to interact with the guys, you know, on a near daily basis. It feels like a piece of you is restored, especially the way things ended so quickly and guys got out of town and things got shut down. It's great to be out there. And, you know, again, we're just hopeful that we can start as early as possible and stay healthy so that we don't lose the weight room or lose the ice, because it's our spot to be, and it feels real good to be back there.
Yeah, this has been a good month. I mean, the Laker players are back. I saw them all on the golf course a couple of weeks ago. I think they all took a Wednesday and went out there. I think every guy was there. I don't remember anybody was missing, but that was maybe a week ago. And NHL playing right now. That's great. I mean, we're watching more hockey right now. I mean, every day there's 4 or 5 games. Yeah. My wife hates it. I think it's great.
I love it. You know, I think there's a noon start today, or yesterday there's a noon start. You know, so it's good. You know, even when you're in the office, you'll throw it on. And, you know, because we're broken up in groups, we come off in between groups, get the ice flooded, get the room cleaned up, you know, and the game's on. Or when the second group gets off the ice, the games are started. So you have hockey on in the locker room. Our players get to watch the best in the world, you know, chasing a Stanley Cup where compete level's off the charts, habits are off the charts. It's those inches and those small details that are the difference between winning and losing and chasing a championship. So it's my favorite time of the year. Usually it's in, you know, April as that Stanley Cup chase is going on, but it's great to have the game on and to watch those guys. Yeah, so I'm glued to it. I watch, you know, all night long. I'll get some work done with my laptop and the game's on, and you're bounced back and been a lot of tight games, a lot of overtime. So it's great hockey to watch and nice to have it back.
Yeah, it's been highly competitive. I mean, there's no fans, and so there's no feedback there. And, you know, players love fans because they feed from that. But these guys are playing their hearts out. I mean, they know what's on the line, and they're professional players. And it's been really good hockey.
Yeah, I think, you know, and you mentioned the testing protocol, but, you know, being in that bubble and certainly for guys that have families back home and kids and wives and things like that, it's got to be really hard to be removed from them. But the other side of it, you know, you're in this bubble with, you know, your teammates, guys you're chasing a championship with. So the bonding, the memories, you know, you have to be outstanding there. And I can only imagine the stories, and you get small glimpses every now and then about what they're doing and things like that. But yeah, you see the passion, you know, a guy like Zdeno Chara, who's been around for forever, but his desire to chase another Stanley Cup, you know, it's very motivating and, you know, great to see that. And we're stealing clips all the time, downloading games and grabbing clips and, you know, take it, run to our guys. And it's funny, you know, we're doing all the skill work right now with our limited hours. And Connor Clifton's goal the other day, you know, he comes down the dot and fires a one-timer home, and we've got four defensemen coming in the next day. Like, coach, you see that? We just worked on it. So it's great when you can, you know, go out and work on these habits, and then you guys get to see it in a Stanley Cup chase that same night.
Yeah, we mentioned last month who the captains are this year. Lucas Kybel is the captain this year. You got Ashton Calder as one of the assistant captains. Will Rydell's pretty good leadership group. They're guys who are very passionate about the game. Hampus Erickson as well is in there. And boy, Hampus looks really good. He looks like he's in great shape. And you mentioned a few moments ago that Sweden did not close down everything, so these Swedes were able to work out normally, skate normally. And Hampus looks like he's going to have a good year, and it's his senior year. He's got to be good. And, you know, I'm excited. I hope this team gets to play, because I think this team's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like you said, and I thought the mindset that our seniors started our senior conversations with, you know, we've been working with them all summer long on leadership, expectations, things like that. And they set the tone with, you know, they're in their mind that they have unfinished business. You know, there's a real bitter taste to last year, you know, coming off that great, I guess, sophomore year for these guys. To take that step back is not something they wanted. I think they have a chance. I think Coach Isaac looked it up, or maybe Coach York, but you know, with a good year, and now maybe that's disrupted if we have too shortened of a season, but they'll have a chance to, you know, be one of the winningest classes in you know, 20, 25 years, something like that. So it's been a really, you know, dynamic class for us, a great group of young men and individuals, and I think really strong leaders. So, you know, I really like the leadership they'll bring with our captains, as you mentioned, but also that whole class and guys like Pete Viette thrown in there, you know, other juniors in that mix, a guy like Louis Bedon, who had a great year, you know, he's going to take a big step. Dustin Manns, another freshman coming off a strong year, big role. So it's a good team, and you know, we've got to get on the ice and show what we can do.
Well, I think a lot of fans want to see you play. I get questions every day about, what is there going to be a season? When will it start? What's the schedule? There is a schedule out there. It's probably not going to be adhered to in the long run, but we'll find out. I think next month's show, we're going to have a lot of information for you. But to kind of recap what we've talked about this morning, there is really no set schedule right now. We're in the dark on COVID-19, what they're going to do, but I'll be surprised if we start in October, but I would not be surprised if we start in November, and certainly by January 1. That seems to be where everybody's heading. And Damon, thanks for doing this morning, and good luck with everything for the next few weeks until we talk again.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's, you know, things are moving. Campus has life and energy, so anybody wants to get by and, you know, pop in there and follow protocols. You know, I know we've had a couple people who are like me and can't stay away from the rink. I saw Tony Boss poke his nose in the other day, and I know Johnny Forrest has been up there.
Johnny Forrest be there every chance.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going. I haven't seen Roy yet, but it feels good. It's great to be back on. So it's nice to come in, talk hockey. I hope next month we can share some information with our fans and listeners and have a better you know, understanding of where we're going. But we're going to be optimistic, and we're going to find a way to get this done.
All righty. Damon Whitten joining Bill Crawford this morning. That's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.